and welcome to episode 7 of Mark's Mess vs. the Evolutionary War, the 12-issue limited podcast. Each episode, I'm looking at one of Marvel's 1988 annuals with the banner of the Evolutionary War. I will examine both the main story and the backup, and in the 12th and final podcast, I will talk about the High Evolutionary story, which runs at the end of nearly all the annuals. This episode is the X-Men annual number 12. Notice it's not the Uncanny X-Men annual, it's just the X-Men annual. I really should look up why that is. No emails today, but if you want to contact me, you can contact me via mymarksmess@gmail.com. We now have a Twitter feed where you can follow me, Marksmess Podcasts. And if you look that up, that would be great. Make me feel wanted. Let's delve straight into the comic book. On the cover, we have in the center the eight members, current members of the X-Men. The X-Men is a comic that's been running for a long time, and I do enjoy it. The very first podcast in this series featured the original X-Men as X-Factor. So this is a completely new range of X-Men. And it was described to me once like a soap opera. There are so many different facets of it. At the moment, these X-Men are living in the Australian outback, presumed to be dead by their friends and their enemies. So they are bursting out of the middle, it looks like a portal. On the top left-hand corner, the High Evolutionary is looking menacingly over. And the top right-hand corner, the Terminus, who we'll deal with later, is looming over with tiny wee X-Men at the bottom. And at the very bottom, along the spread, we have Mojo and the X-Babies. Who they are, we'll find it out in the second story. So let's turn the page and let's get stuck in. Stan Lee presents Resurrection. Writer Chris Claremont. Penciler Art Adams. Inker Bob Wykeck. Colorist Glynis Oliver. Letterer Tom Oz. You've got to be kidding. Tom Oz. Ozeko Whiskey. I'll go with that. I apologize to anybody with that surname, whether you're Tom or not. I don't know. Editor Bob Harris and Chief Tom DeFalco, as always. First page is a splash page of Storm in full anger, flying through the Australian outback skies with thunder and lightning looming behind her. Storm is a weather controller and part of the second generation of X-Men that came at the very start of Chris Claremont's run. And a mainstay of his team for a long, long time. In fact, the whole time he was there. She, at the moment, is a team leader. In the outback town where the X-Men are now called home, Longshot gets catapulted high in the air by the strong winds created when Storm flies about, and Dazzler uses her powers creatively to save him. Longshot is a newer member of the X-Men. He's a luck-powered adventurer from another dimension. He appeared in the Danger Room one day and joined the X-Men, and he has a different physiology than the rest than humans. For a start, he's got three fingers on the hand. He has hollow bones, so he's a lot lighter, hence he got flung up in the air by Storm's wind. Dazzler is Alison Blair, whose powers are her emitting light created from the sound around her. She first appeared in the pages of X-Men, but declined their membership. She had her own comic for quite a number of years and met most of the Marvel Universe then, before ending up with the X-Men again. And it's these two characters are in a relationship at the moment. But there's a third wheel in this relationship, and that's Rogue. Rogue's chasing after Storm, and the rest of the team, including Psylocke, Wolverine, Havoc, Colossus, and Madeline Pryor, are in the control center. Just to look over these people, Rogue was a member of the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, and she comes to Professor X to help her control her powers. She can absorb the powers of others for a limited time by touching them, but she can't turn off the powers, so it's impossible for her to touch anyone. A hug, a kiss, anything like that without her powers absorbing the memories and the powers. In fact, it was one of these times when she was in battle with Miss Marvel that she absorbed her powers for too long, and she kept them. So she's super strong, tough, and can fly. Psycholoc is the team telepath, and she first appeared as the sister of Captain Britain on his title. So she's very much British. Every incarnation of the X-Men seems to have a telepath. So when Professor X vanished off into space, another story altogether, this lady came along to replace him. Wolverine has got healing factor, sharp claws, and animal instinct. He joins the same time as Storm and sees the team as now as his family. He's obviously one of the most popular characters in the X-Men, and even in these days, back in 1988, he was very popular indeed and had his own series. Colossus, he's a team powerhouse who can turn into organic steel. He's stuck in his armored form due to a fight many issues ago and cannot turn back without considerable damage to him. He joined the same time as Wolverine and Storm. Havoc. He has the ability to fire plasma beams. He originally joined the X-Men before the rest of them, and is Cyclops' brother, but only recently came back to the X-Men when his girlfriend disappeared and was taken over by evil mutant people. You know, that type of thing. And Madeline Pryor. Oh, this is complicated. I'm not going to go through this, because it's far too complicated. She's a clone of Jean Grey. They don't know this at the moment, but she married Scott Summers when Jean Grey was dead, but Jean Grey's not dead anymore. So Scott went off to be with the X-Factor and be with Jean, and my head hurts already. Like, she's not in it that much. She's only in it for a couple of panels. We'll cope without it. Recently, the X-Men have suffered losses and faked their own deaths to protect themselves and their loved ones, and they now live in a deserted Australian outback town. Okay, now we're up to speed in who these people are, apart from Gateway. But we'll get to him. Anyway, they're tracking Storm and conclude that she's heading to Antarctica, and Wolverine decides the only place that she can be heading to there is the Savage Land. Only of these X-Men, Wolverine and Colossus have been there before. The team dresses for the Arctic while standing in the Australian outback heat, and Gateway sends him through his portal via his bull roarer. Gateway sort of comes with the territory, as in comes with this town. He's a mutant teleporter who doesn't speak, he just seems to meditate all the time. I never really got to behind who he really was, because it was only just after this that I started collecting X-Men. And when the team disbanded a bit more again, oh, they all seem to do that. Anyway, X-Men are sent to the Savage Land, expecting to see a dense jungle. But if they're expecting to see a dense jungle, why did they dress for winter? Anyway, they land in a wasteland where the jungle used to be. Wolverine gets Longshot to use his psychometric powers, I don't know, to tell the others what happened. By touching an object, he is able to tell its history. In his vision, he sees panic, animals running, people running, and a giant metal monster who fires upon them. And then there's death. Colossus remembers his friend from his last time there, Nuriel, and shakes with anger. The devastation happened months ago, so Wolverine is still unsure why Storm came here just at this time. They decide to start to look for survivors when the earth starts to rumble. Really get great sound effects on this one. Not far away, the High Evolutionary walks the devastation. He finds a solitary flower and admires it when, wham! Two giant metal hands slap him, and Terminus frees himself from the earth in a brilliant splash page. It shows you the size of Terminus, where you have the High Evolutionary caught in one hand and he still looks minute in that hand. Terminus being this giant robot with three fingers and a thumb in each hand, holding a big stick and a dome for a head. You thought me slain, fools. Now learn to your peril how wrong you are, for no world can escape from, nor any power stand against, the wrath of Terminus. He likes to make an entrance. The X-Men start to fight him, first with long-range powers of Dazzler's beams and Havoc's plasma, while Colossus protects against Terminus's power shots. Psycholoc tries to mind probe, but fails and injures herself. A long shot attaches a rope to Terminus and carries Wolverine for up and close battle, while Longshot fires his blade seemingly in vain against the faceplate of Terminus. Wolverine uses his claws, and any damage that he has caused, Terminus heals rapidly. Just as Terminus is about to destroy them, Rogue comes along and whisks Wolverine, Longshot, and High Evolutionary out of the way. Storm now unleashes her power and blows Terminus into a cliff and covers him. In the rest bite, they organize themselves. The High Evolutionary tells them he is here to rebuild the Savage Land. Havoc goes with the High Evolutionary to help along to his citadel. Longshot wanders off and, as luck would have it, disappears into a portal. The High Evolutionary and Havoc arrive at his installation, and Havoc ponders the similarities between Professor X and the High Evolutionary, both trying to do the right thing in their own mind. The High Evolutionary introduces his scantily clad assistant, Zala, and the High Evolutionary explains to bring the Savage Land back, he needs a vocal catalyst, a mutant with a primal connection to the Savage Land. Without it, the land is lost. I mean, he couldn't have told them that before they left. They could have had the team look for someone, but no. Zala the assistant doesn't seem to have much to do here, maybe to pour drinks and stuff like that, but I know she plays a bigger connection later on in the series. Meanwhile, Dazzler realizes that Longshot is missing, so the team split up. Wolverine and Dazzler look for Longshot. Cyclops, Rogue, and Storm go and examine Terminus to see what they can find. While looking for Longshot, Wolverine disappears and Dazzler freaks out. Storm realizes that the cameo crystal is glowing and she heads back to help Dazzler. Cameo crystal, I don't know that much about it. Again, it's this whole soap opera thing. If you've missed a few episodes, maybe you can't get back into it again. She leaves Rogue to guard Psycholoc as she meditates, trying to get into Terminus' mind through his shields. Storm and Colossus, I mean, was he just shaking with rage for the past while? They reach Dazzler, and Storm uses a crystal to reveal a portal between worlds, and a giant snarling wolf comes out of the portal. Storm reassures that the wolf is a friend. Awkward, this is a huge thing that could swallow the three of them without even knowing it. The wolf Kijim is so big that it has a ship on its back. A Mirren reveals that she saved some of the Savage Land people on the back of the giant wolf, including Nereal, Colossus's friend, and their reunions all around. That's quite heartwarming to see. Meanwhile, back with Rogue and Psycholoc, Terminus awakes and swatch Rogue and Psycholoc over the mountains. And so here starts the second round of the fight. Storm gets in first with a lightning bolt to Terminus, but Terminus rises from it, and then the big giant wolf goes after him with guns firing from the ship on top. Terminus fires back, but misses the wolf. Psycholoc has found a weakness. Storm carries Wolverine towards Terminus and meets the High Evolutionary in his flying car with Havoc along the way. Rogue lands on the ship after coming back from being swiped away. She borrows Longshot's good luck powers and flies right into Terminus, finding a weak spot that the blades that Longshot threw earlier on revealed a weakness, and finds in the controlling this giant machine is Garak, who's a Savage Land mutant. Both Storm and Wolverine recognize him and know that his power can drain mutants' energy, but Rogue does not know this. She grabs Garak, and both their powers cancel each other out. Wolverine sets to work with his claws on the giant Terminus machine, and Havoc from his flying car starts his beam into it as well. Meanwhile, Dazzler joins in a full photon blast, and Terminus is starting to come apart. Garak is caught by Storm, and Rogue is caught by Colossus, while the giant machine of Terminus crumbles into nothingness. Garrick explains that he has no idea what happened. Colossus talks to Noreen about her son, and we are led to believe that the father is Colossus, unknown to him. A high evolutionary asks Garrick to sacrifice his life to bring the Savage Land back. Garrick agrees for his beloved Savage Land. Longshot and Wolverine briefly discuss a high evolutionary, and Wolverine has a scent of danger from him. Meanwhile, up in the gallery, while watching the operation going on with Gorak, Zala, or Zaladin, and her minions talk in the shadows about how they are manipulating the High Evolutionary, who in turn muses that that is far from the truth. He is now glad to have a positive outcome in the restored Savage Land. As X-Men leave, Psylocke wipes the minds to protect their secret existence. Later on, Khazar, Lord of the Savage Land! Think Tarzan. It's basically it. He comes from the 1940s, I do believe, and he was resurrected by Stan Lee back in the 60s, and he's been a prominent member of the Marvel Universe ever since. He returns and comments on the changes he sees in the Savage Land, and Aurel says that they were aided by legends.
So how was the comic? Two things made this comic great. First, the art by Art Adams. He's not the fastest artist in the world, so he doesn't get the regular runs in comics as other artists do, but he has done several X-Men annuals, and they've all been great art, and he's done some stuff on classic X-Men as well. His art is detailed with great pencils, and it gives an epic feel to the story, and I love the splash pages and the backgrounds. So much detail he puts into it. Chris Claremont is the other reason this is a great comic. He has been involved with X-Men since he had his uncredited work in Giant Size X-Men number 1. He has built the X-Men up from a low-selling comic into Marvel's top seller. And as we see in this story, his characterization is spot on with each character delivered in a different way. I'm a wee bit disappointed that Dazzler hasn't got much to do except freak out. The problem with this comic is the back history that you need to know for the story. It leaves a lot of unanswered questions. For instance, why does Storm race to the Savage Land? What happened to the Savage Land? Where did Terminus come from? What is a cameo crystal? Who is Marin and all her friends? What's the story with Zaladin? Who is Garrick? And why is the High Evolutionary in the Savage Land? Some of these are answered in X-Men history, or some of it is in the history of other comics such as the Fantastic Four and the Avengers for all the Terminus stuff. This is the Evolutionary War, and I wonder, what is the point of it in the context of that? If you just bought this comic for the banner headline, you might be quite disappointed. What is the Evolutionary doing there? Is it just to resurrect the Savage Land? Is there some other motive? Why would he want to resurrect a Savage Land if he wants a pure society? I enjoyed this comic, and I've come back to it again and again over years. As for who Mojo is, and that backstory, well, let's look at the second story in the annual.
Anyway, the backup story is set in Mojo's world. How do I explain Mojo? Mojo is a big, fat blob of a person who loves his television, who rules his world through having the best TV channels. I've got a funny feeling they're trying to tell us something about society. The problem he has at the moment is that to keep his people happy and to keep them in line, he gives them the best TV programs. And they're basically from our world. And the best TV programs he had were of the X-Men and their exploits. We start with Mojo ranting, "I want my X-Men!" Which is also the title of it. And he realises because the X-Men are officially dead and nowhere to be seen, he has to replace them. How's he going to do this? Okay, he has the Brain Trust, which are made of the comic book creators Chris Claremont, Arthur Adams, Bob Wykeck, Tom Mazurhim, Glynis Oliver, and Bob Harris. And because they cannot provide an answer to him, he makes Chris Claremont's head into a baby's head. Meanwhile, Ricochet Rita, who was Longshot's girlfriend, and she's human, and she's being kept as a slave. And she is in the front of Mojo's ship as they go about above the people. It's a wee bit complicated, that. Prisoner Ricochet Rita tells Mojo that it would be simpler if he just replaced Finder Prelisons for the X-Men. Finding this a brilliant idea, he orders new X-Men to come out. And then you get comic sequences of different types of X-Men coming out. First, a variation of the classic, all women. So you've got a female Longshot, female Nightcrawler, Colossus, Wolverine, Magneto, and Havoc. But Mojo thinks it's too predictable. They don't sing, they don't dance, they don't fly. Dump them. Next! Then you have X-Men Transformers. We have Wolverine. I don't know who that one's meant to be, but Colossus, Storm, and a couple of others. Nah. You have got, looks like, S&M X-Men. Less said about that, the better. And Nightcrawler, and that looks really creepy. Okay, let's go for the next ones. As lovable, as adorable, as irresistible, comically cute as can be. The X-Animals. This is funny. Let's see, you've got Colossus at the back, who is an ape. You have got Longshot, who is the rooster. You've got, let me get this right, a meerkat as Storm, a skunk as Rogue, you know, the hair, yes. Havoc is a rabbit. Oh, poor Dazzler is Miss Piggy. A Stoat is Psycholoc. And Wolverine is, I don't know if he's meant to be a Wolverine or a bulldog. Either way, it looks really ridiculous. Eventually, they go through different ones, and I'll just read you what it says. R after R, X-Men after X-Men, mutants without end. Their addition goes on and on and on and on. Skinny X-Men, fat X-Men, giant X-Men, tiny X-Men, musical X-Men, dancing X-Men, X-Men fish, X-Men insect, chimps in X-Men costumes, X-Men mimes, midget X-Men, X-Men made of straw or brick or mint chocolate ice cream. Each group of X-Men more boring, more tiresome, more melodious than the one before. Until they're young, they're proud, they're cantankerous, they're the mighty X-Babies. So you have the current roster of X-Men as quite young children. And very well drawn by Art Adams. First thing Mojo does is turn Longshot into a pitcher, which sends Dazzler into panic that her beloved has gone. Being children, they get into trouble. They start to rebel. And then there's a battle between Mojo's forces and the X-Babies. As Mojo unleashes his police force, the X-Babies pound onto them all, and there's cartoon-style zap, whap, arr, schnick, splat, while Rogue and Dazzler argue over Longshot's picture. Baby Psycholoc frees Ricochet Rita, and she helps them escape until they're surrounded by all of Mojo's forces. And Mojo, being quite angry that they're the X-Babies, decides how he's going to dispose of them. And then he discovers through his assistant that they have got big appeal for the television market, and he wants to have them as his own. Meanwhile, baby Wolverine crawls underneath Mojo's chair and schnick, yow! They all escape, including baby Longshot, and Rita ends up looking after them. The end. Just a fun story. I'm not really into Mojo and all his stuff and all his cantankerous stuff, but, oh dear, it's pretty good. I do enjoy it. It's a lot of fun, especially the bits where they're showing the different X-Men and what they can or cannot do. I'd love to have seen some of those other ones that were mentioned. Okay, at the end of each show, I highlight a podcast that is hopefully related to the comics that I've covered. The only X-Men podcast I listen to is Exasperations. What other one would you really need? And I've highlighted them before, and also they don't have a trailer that I've been able to find. But Exasperations, if you want to check them out. What I will highlight is the Quarter Bin podcast, Professor Allen's of the Relatively Geeky Network. He looks at comics that he got from the Quarter Bin and reviews them and sees if they were worth a quarter. One thing I'm really jealous of you people in America, just talking to you at the moment, is that you've got comic book shops that have things like quarter bins and stuff like that. I grew up in Northern Ireland, where the only comic book shops I could find were in Belfast. I have to go 50 miles to a comic book shop. When I lived in Belfast, studied and worked in Belfast, I had a great time. I went to a comic book shop, which is now Forbidden Planet, and that's where I got most of my comics for. No such thing as a quarter bin or a 50-cent bin. You had to look for back issues, which were sold as price. But considering these annuals are cost 50 pence in modern money, $1.75 in US, $2.25 in Canadian, what a value those were at the time when you consider how much an ordinary comic is, not an annual. Relativity Geeky Network, Quarter Bin Podcast. Listen to the promo at the end of the show. This has been Mark's Mess versus the Evolutionary War, episode 7 of 12 issue podcast. All characters are property of Marvel Comics. If you want to get in touch with me, mymarksmess@gmail.com or marksmesspodcasts and follow me on Twitter. Thanks to Josh Woodward of joshwoodward.com for the title music. Next episode, another Spider-Man, Web of Spider-Man Annual number 4. Be here.
You like cheap comic books, right? Well, I'm Professor Allen, and I talk about cheap comic books on the Quarterbin Podcast. In every episode, I'll dissect a single comic from my collection, as long as I paid no more than 25 cents for the issue. Forget about $4 new comics that you can read in 4 minutes, or crossover events that can cost $100 to collect. Join me in the Quarterbin, where even bad comics are a bargain, and good ones are a steal. The Quarterbin Podcast is part of the Relatively Geeky Podcast Network. Visit us at relativelygeekypodcast.blogspot.com or search Relatively Geeky or Quarterbin Podcast in iTunes. I guarantee it'll be worth every penny.